Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin, and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 259 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Craft Bag has a surprising group of people who aren't getting vaccinated. At 12:30, we look at some win total odds for the upcoming college football season. And in mere minutes, Texas baseball and softball are back to 100% capacity, and a Longhorn football commit makes an interesting decision about his upcoming senior season in high school. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Welcome to, hopefully, your weekend. Maybe it's already begun. It is Friday. We go into a busy sports weekend. There's a lot to get to. We got a couple birthdays that are going to lead us into great conversations today. But why don't we just start with a tanned, sexy bastard who just turned 50 and who leads the PGA Championship right now. Phil Mickelson threw a 69 on him today. He is 5-under for the tournament, and right now he has a one-shot lead. You go, Lefty. Oh, and Trey, he's rocking those shades. He is rocking those shades in the second round. He is leading the tournament right now. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about Phil.
Yeah, that's cool. Phil's obviously taken really good care of himself over these last few years, and now he's put himself in position to be among the leaders heading into the weekend. That's exciting for longtime golf fans, many of whom go back to that era where you were either rooting for Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson. I feel like a lot of those people are rooting for both of those guys now, at least when Tiger is actually able to be a part of things. Hopefully he recovers from that serious wreck. But in the meantime, a fun little throwback with Phil Mickelson atop a leaderboard.
I watched a little bit of it this morning. Again, if you're into the golf stuff, ESPN Plus. I watched just his group. You could just click on that group, and they follow him around. It's fantastic, the early morning stuff they give you on ESPN Plus. Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka at -3. For the Longhorn crowd, Scheffler, even par. He'll tee off later. DeChambeau shot even par. Dylan Fratelli, I said Longhorn. Obviously, DeChambeau is a SMU Mustang. Fratelli, +1. And Jordan Spieth did not have a great day yesterday. 73, he is +3. Not that far off, but not terrific either. Other big names, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, all plus numbers. Dustin Johnson was +7. So, yeah, he's probably not going to be a part of this thing. We'll keep you up to date on the PGA. But the Phil Mickelson story I thought was worth mentioning there. Also worth mentioning today, Trey, the birthday of Ricky Williams.
It is the birthday of my all-time favorite college football player, Chad, who, for some unexplainable reason, has blocked me on Twitter.
Is that right?
And this has been the case for several years now. I don't know why. I have never besmirched Ricky's name. If anything, I've probably gone too far in the other direction, and that perhaps helps start to explain it. But I've never had any interactions with Ricky on Twitter other than asking for some specifics on an organ massage treatment that he was advertising several years ago. That's the only time that I ever responded to anything that he had tweeted out. He actually responded in kind. And then at some point, 6 months to a year later, I came to realize that he had blocked me on Twitter. So that's where I am as a sports fan and a lover of Ricky Williams, that I can't even follow Rick the Laureate on the one social media medium that I partake in regularly.
So if you're out there and have a theory, an updated theory on why Ricky has blocked Trey, let us know. Now, Trey, I don't know this because either I don't know Twitter well enough or it's just never happened. How does one know that someone has blocked them on Twitter? How does that occur? Like, what happens?
Well,
how do you find that out? Because I saw today, I'm not trying to like pour salt in your wound here. Like, I saw today when I pulled up Ricky's account that Ricky follows me.
What?
And obviously I follow Ricky. So
come on, Ricky, I'm better than him.
So on, how dare you speak? How dare you? I was gonna say speak for yourself, but you were. So how do I? How would I determine if, let's say, if Ricky had blocked me, what would I see there?
So the way that I learned about this is somebody had retweeted something from Ricky, and it said, this tweet not available. And I'm like, well, that's weird. So I clicked on the tweet, and then it took me directly to Ricky's account. It says, the account user has blocked you from seeing their account.
Oh, wow. Okay. All
so right. Somebody will occasionally respond to Rick the Laureate or retweet something, and I just don't see anything. It just says, this tweet not available or whatever. And if you dig deeper, then you find out that you're blocked. And I do check every so often just to see if,
of course you do,
my on-air ramblings influence Ricky to reconsider the blockage. Because again, Ricky, I'm one of your biggest fans in life at this point. I understood going way back when how you you decided for cannabis over the NFL. I respected that. I was defending you back then.
You were a Ricky defender way back then. I remember it vividly.
There were a lot of people that were hammering the guy. And on the one hand, I understood those criticisms. Ricky was making a what was the right decision for him. And I had no issues with that. And I remained a big fan of him through all of that. And if anything, maybe had more respect for the guy of deciding to turn his back on millions of dollars to try and get healthy. And here we are in 2021. Ricky Williams is into all sorts of different things now, still doing the organ massaging, and he's got a CBD company, and he's got some other cool things going on, and I don't get to see any of it on Twitter, Chad, because he blocked me.
All right, Trey, let me ask it this way. You're not super focused on your own birthday, which I respect, because you know it's just any other day. But for your birthday or for Christmas or whatever, if I was going to give you a present, and the present was Ricky is going to follow you on Twitter, what is the highest amount of money that you would pick that over? So again, I'm offering you either Ricky will follow you on Twitter or I'm going to give you money. What is the highest amount of money where you're still picking the Ricky option? Would you pick it over $1,000 or would you take $1,000? I will give you either one. Theoretically, which one do you want?
Ricky follow.
Whoa, over 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. How much more do you think it would go up and you'd still pick Ricky? I'm just trying to get Ricky the proper level of respect you have for him in case he's listening.
I'd start considering it at $100,000.
What? You're telling me if I offered you Ricky or 10 grand, you'd pick Ricky?
Yeah.
Ricky Williams, if you're out there, brother, did you hear what he just said? The man's pretty important to him. Wow.
Now, is Ricky going to give me some organ massages for making this decision, for deciding to reject $90,000?
No.
His Twitter access?
All I can guarantee you is he's going to follow you on Twitter. I can just, the click is all I would be guaranteeing you.
Can we smoke a blunt together at least?
I can't promise any of that. I don't know Ricky that well. You're going to have to talk to Bucky, who knows Ricky a little better than that.
I've tried Bucky.
Better than I do.
You know what Bucky does? He acts like he talks to Ricky about these things and then gives me like random crap that's laying around his house that Ricky didn't care enough about to give to Bucky to begin with. I'm not even kidding you. I have the strangest shrine for Ricky Williams at my house. Justine doesn't get it either, but I'm like, look, this at this point it's kind of a running joke. It's a bottle of this long tequila that has been, I don't know if there was red food dye that was dropped into it or what, but it's this pink tequila, like the liquid is pink, in this clear glass bottle that's really long that Ricky Williams signed at one point.
Yeah.
And then I also have... is like a Chevrolet Player of the Week plaque.
Sweet.
From his time at Texas. And then I have the old Philadelphia Phillies pullover. It's like a windbreaker. That was what Ricky wore when he was in the Phillies organization, so it's way too big for me.
Game worn, hello?
Game worn, yes, but still not functional, which is why I've turned it into like a quasi pair of boxer shorts. That I won't necessarily wear like under the shorts when I'm coming to work, but I'll wear them just lounging around the house.
Uh-huh.
That way I can always have a little bit of Ricky that close to me.
So the relationship between Trey and Ricky, certainly a special one. The relationship between all of you and Ricky, I'm sure, is a special one. It is Ricky's birthday today. By the way, happy 44 for Ricky Williams today. And the easy thing to talk about with Ricky when you talk about football and highlights and big moments, it's the run against A&M. We all understand it. Ricky breaks the record. Tony Dorsett was in the house, the whole thing, right? That's number one. But just like the other day when we were trying to figure out the fourth member of a Mount Rushmore, Trey decided today, what about that silver medal? What is the second thing you think of football-wise with Ricky Williams? Is there a run? Is there a game? Is there a result? Is there a speech? Is there whatever? Is it the press conference that said he's coming back?
I'm thinking of on-field moments for him.
Okay, on-field.
On-field moments with Texas that defined him.
Okay.
Because some of the other things, you're right. If there is a second thing for me, it's definitely him announcing he's coming back for his senior season, which made Mac Brown's first year, I think, much more successful. But I'm trying to consider what other options exist. You mentioned one in pre-show where he honored Doak Walker. I think that's a great candidate.
Yeah, that game, he had some big dog runs in that game.
The first moment that popped out to me, though, was his very first game, his true freshman game. They were at Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like it was in the second half of the game. I don't remember the exact details, but he breaks off that run from midfield, and you're like, ooh. This guy's third on the depth chart right now, but I have a pretty good feeling he's going to meet the recruiting hype that followed him as he committed and then signed with the Longhorns.
No doubt. Give us your Ricky thoughts, moments. What's that other Ricky in-game moment that you always remember? Let us know about that. We will keep you updated on a lot of stuff today. I mentioned the PGA. How about Texas women's tennis, Trey? Tennis Tom is there live on the scene, and he lets us know it is now 3-0 UT in match wins. They only need one more match win. This is the final four. They're taking on NC State, and they're one match win away from going to the championship match.
Man, they're boat racing opponents.
They are smashing. Yes, they are smashing folks. The men's team, by the way, came back. They didn't come back. Sorry. They beat USC yesterday. 4-3, another close win. They are into the Final Four. They're playing number one seed Florida tonight, 6:30. That's on Tennis Channel. And Trey, the men's tennis team, in matches that finish 4-3, they are 8-1 in those matches this year.
That's a good thing.
Both tennis teams are damn good right now. Men are the number 4 overall seed. The women are the number 2 overall seed. And the women are once again cruising. Nobody's touching this women's tennis team right now for Texas. They're playing really, really well.
Great to hear. And Chad, I'm excited to go watch another UT sport in person tonight with my son Calvin. My 4-year-old gets to attend his first Texas baseball game tonight. And this wasn't even the case when you and I got done with our show yesterday. This last series of the regular season is the first one of the year, and the first one in, gosh, more than a year's time now, where we're being allowed to attend at 100% capacity.
Dude, it's so great. Like, the two-step process of the university saying that they no longer are going to require masks. And then literally, I think the next day was yesterday, right at the end of our show, the story starts to break that they're going 100% capacity at outdoor events, which is great news on multiple levels. Starts with the baseball game last night. It'll transition into softball this afternoon because they've got the regional and hoping regional and super regional coming up. And then the other thing, Trey, to me, graduations. The graduation ceremonies now are going to be, you don't have to worry about the social distancing. You're not going to have to worry about masks and outdoors, and you can bring as many, not as many as you want, but whatever normal rules are in place for graduations, those will come back. So that is big. The fact that you guys are going to the, we're going to the game anyway, now hopefully that'll feel extra normal to you, that people get there, just as many people, you know, basically that want to show up, can show up, maybe, you know, make the dish feel full.
Look, I'm going to be there with the 4-year-old. We're probably not making it much past the fifth or sixth inning, but it should be fun in the meantime.
Has he ever been to a live baseball game?
Yes, but he would have been slightly less than a year old at the time.
No, yeah. No,
it would have been his or my first Father's Day with him out in the world.
Yeah.
And so he was still in the the car seat carrier, if you will.
Okay.
So he doesn't have any recollection. The only recollection he has of live sports, there's two. Texas Stars games, of which he and his sister have gone to more than anything else, and then also the one UT football game he got to go to two seasons ago.
Does he understand baseball?
No.
Okay. Because I know, I mean, like, so have you, I know you started watching some movies with him and stuff like that. Have you sat down with him and watched any baseball, like, at home to explain the game to him or anything?
No, I've talked with him a little bit about getting into T-ball, and he says he wants to. So I'm like, all right, well, you and I are going to go over some basics first and teach you, like, how to catch with your glove, how to throw.
How to spit.
The proper way to, the proper way to scratch yourself, the proper way to spit, the proper way to swing a bat.
Sunflower seeds.
Hitting a bat, or hitting the ball off a tee, like little things like that, some of which we've done already, and he's a really good thrower, and he's now getting comfortable taking the opposite foot step as he throws a ball versus the natural inclination when you first start throwing to either just stand there stationary or step with the same foot.
The Mahomes theory is usually the best way to go, right?
Right, exactly.
You just want to chunk.
Yeah, just sidearm, overhand, underhand at times.
No problem.
So he doesn't have a great understanding of baseball, but I feel like that's another good reason to go to the game tonight. He's going to be asking me questions like he has with basketball and he has with football. Now I'll be able to talk with him about some of the ins and outs of this sport, too.
We already have a texter agreeing with you, Trey, on that Hawaii game for Ricky. Really exciting game. The fact that it was the way that he broke the ice. The fact that that was kind of y'all's handshake for Ricky Williams, that's a big deal. Freshman running back, big, you know, big-time guy out of California, and for him to look that good that fast, that's one I hadn't thought of, but that's a good one to bring up. This says, my only game watching Ricky play was on September the 5th, 1998, against New Mexico State. He rushed for 6 touchdowns. Even if I get Alzheimer's, I won't forget that day. Now, that was – see, that's what I told you earlier. If you really want to just say full Ricky dominance, you're going to go to games like that where he's playing a lesser opponent and it was just, man, we're going to hand this ball to Ricky. He's going to pound on them for 4 quarters and we're going to get out of here.
Rice, Kansas,
Iowa
games
State.
Like that. Iowa State back then, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So give us some thoughts on Ricky's birthday. So 100% – capacity at UT for outdoor events. That is awesome. The other UT piece of information we wanted to pass along today, and Trey made me aware of this. I hadn't heard when I walked in, but Trey, a weird recruiting story. You tell me if you've heard a recruiting story like this in the recent past. I don't remember it. We have certainly seen college football players opting out. We saw it in 2020 because of COVID. We saw high school football players opt out, I guess, if they wanted to, because of COVID, different reasons. You're susceptible. You feel like the family's susceptible, whatever. But now this is a 2022 recruit for Texas. You may know the name Jaden Blue, running back Klein. Which one is it? Klein something.
Kane.
Thank you. Klein Kane High School in the Houston area. And Jaden Blue has opted out of his upcoming senior season. And Trey, he does go, and he did. He explained himself on Twitter, and he talked about wear and tear, and being a brutal sport. But he never mentioned medical stuff. He never mentioned COVID. And at the end, he does make a reference to this is an incremental step in hopes of one day fulfilling my NFL dreams. But opting out of his senior year, a strange thing. I don't remember this happening in the recruiting world.
According to Inside Texas, this is a result of him having some issues with his coaches, a big falling out with his coaches. This is something that's been lingering for a little bit of time now. And at least according to Eric Nahlin, hopefully things get mended or he transfers somewhere else to play. Because I agree with this line of thinking, Chad. If this dude just chooses to sit out his senior season, I'm not sure if I want Texas taking him. Because at that point, there is a major red flag that you think of yourself in much larger terms than the team that you are responsible for playing for. And perhaps the ego is getting in the way of you being a good teammate and a guy who is coachable. Because I don't care how good you are, going into your senior season of high school, there is always room for improvement. If nothing else, clearly in this instance, with a little bit of an attitude adjustment. So hopefully he finds that new home, a place that he can be happy at, and he can put this behind him pretty quickly. But this is a pretty glaring red flag for me right now.
Now, you're not talking about pulling the offer, though.
Texas should see how this plays out, but there should be a large chunk of skepticism on their side right now, where they're having a conversation with him like, look, I get it. Sometimes there's falling outs like this, but you're the star running back for a team that needs you, and this is what's happening right now. This is not good. You need to fix this.
Yeah, it is. It's a strange story in that world. So we'll see kind of what happens there. How does the story progress? For some reason, and everybody's going to know this name, it made me think of Zach Evans, the running back story where certain schools weren't interested because of the attitude that was involved and the kid that was at the championship game and got sent home, and you just start to wonder about the relationship. I'll say this, Trey. In 2021, I hope we are all aware of the idea that in these situations, it doesn't necessarily have to be the kid's got a bad attitude and the coach is always right. I mean, there could be situations where they don't get along for whatever reason. Maybe the coach is a wackadoo. I mean, that's possible.
Could be. There's always two sets of egos. But when it comes down to a dude saying, I am opting out of my senior season.
Yeah. Oh, it's...
That's taking things to a place that he's going to have a hard time walking back. And look, even if Texas were to drop him from their 2022 recruiting class, another big-time program would want the kid.
Yeah.
Just like with Zach Evans. He ends up decommitting or getting out of his letter with Georgia. Then he was at A&M for a smidge, I think. Ends up leaving there. Perhaps he never even officially made it there.
Yeah.
But he is at TCU right now, and he's looked at as one of the best weapons for that shoddy offense this next season.
He may be the only one, but yeah.
Maybe.
We'll see where that story goes. But again, Jaden Blue, the running back out of Klein Kane, still a Longhorn commitment, but has decided to opt out of his senior year. Just a weird, weird story in recruiting and football. We'll continue to talk about that one coming up at 1, our weekly conversation with Dustin McComas of Orange Bloods. That conversation, plus the Texas baseball team missing a big opportunity last night. We'll get into that with Dustin coming up. Up next, how about a little college football? We are only 106 days away from Texas and Louisiana in the first week. We've got some over and under numbers for Power 5 teams on win totals. The Texas win total number does not feel right to me. I'll tell you what it is coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Trey.
Guy you're familiar with, Chad. We both are, for that matter. We saw him perform live together. Anderson East has a new song called Drugs on New Music Friday on a Friday.
Man, I knew there had to be a reason I liked it. That does not sound like Anderson to me.
No, it doesn't.
Beautiful. All right. New Anderson East out there. I'm a big fan of his. Glad to hear there's new stuff out there. Glad to know that maybe, you know, people could go see Anderson East and feel normal pretty soon.
Puts on a hell of a show.
He does put on a great show. Speaking of putting on a show, this Texas women's tennis team cannot stop putting on a show. The only problem is they put on the boring version. They put on the non-dramatic, non-close version. So I'm sorry to all of you that wanted a lot of drama. Yeah, it's over. Texas has taken Florida State out, and then today it's NC State. Yeah, they're out. 4-0, no need to complete all the matches. And our man Tennis Tom is on the scene, and he tells us that Texas has only surrendered one individual point through the finals of the NCAA tournament. Tomorrow, 4:30 on the Tennis Channel, Texas women going for the title. The men, as I mentioned earlier, are in the Final Four. They'll play this evening at 6:30 against number one seed Florida on the men's side. Trey, in the history of Texas tennis, this is only the second time that the men and the women have been to the Final Four in the same year. They did it in the early 90s.
Good for them.
They are killing it.
Very happy for the tennis programs.
Man, oh man. Tennis programs, we mentioned the rowing thing the other day as that team is trying to break through and get a natty. The softball team setting up for regionals today. Baseball had a big opportunity last night. Oh, Trey, it was right there. All the experts told us. Dustin McComas, who's coming up at one, he told us about that pitcher from Kansas State, and the dude showed up. And he was great, and they beat TCU. And we knew that before the Texas game ended. The problem with the Texas game was Texas never had the lead. Never. West Virginia took it from them early. Ty Madden, and they said early on you could tell he just wasn't quite in control of that fastball. So it was a close game throughout. Texas loses 5-4. Some controversy on a replay call, and then just some little things, just little bitty things that didn't go Texas's way in the game ultimately. They had a chance at the end. Runners on second and third. Two outs. And I believe it was Hodo that struck out to end the game. So it was a really close, interesting game to watch. But Texas had the chance to take that control back and get closer to the conference. But instead, they're still one game back of TCU. So there
yeah,
you go.
Well, you know what? They've got another opportunity tonight. Hopefully Kansas State can do their job, let's say two more times, to give Texas a chance to win it outright. But even a share of the conference championship would be nice for this program.
Yep, no doubt about it. Obviously, Big 12 tournament coming up next week for Texas and the rest. We've been, we'll keep you updated on the PGA. Phil Mickelson is the big story. He shot 69 today, and he leads -5, and the wind is whipping today. And they say it's going to get even worse as the weekend goes on. It's just going to get windier and windier there at Kiawah Island. Always football to talk about around here, and we mentioned the announcement of 100% capacity, and it starts with baseball last night. Trey's going to take his son to his first baseball game tonight. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, but Trey, with all due respect to every other sport, when I hear 100% capacity, I just think of football season.
Yeah.
And I was so excited when I read that yesterday because that speaks to DKR to me, and that speaks to you know, all those big venues that we love so much around the country. One of my favorite things in college football is the flying camera and the drone cameras now showing me the full house.
Mm-hmm.
And now the idea, at least at this point, we're thinking we're going to get to see that at all the big venues. That is so cool.
Yeah, I feel like even with the game last night, because they announced it so late in the afternoon, that while there were certainly more people than we've seen at the Dish, it wasn't quite capacity. I'm assuming that we get capacity over these next couple of games, but you're exactly right, Chad. When you think about a stadium full of fans, it's football first and then everything else second and beyond.
Oh, man, it's going to be so cool. You kind of wish that I sort of wish that that Arkansas game was here because of that, because you get a nice packed house for a non-conference game, kind of like the LSU thing a couple years ago. But you take whatever you can get, and I'm sure Texas fans are going to want to pack it for that Louisiana game as well. So I got an email yesterday, Trey. I get emails, even though I'm not a big bettor myself, I get a lot of emails from Vegas. They like to send me emails to say, here's the over-unders, and here's the betting line, and here's what we think, and you know, prop bets for Super Bowls and stuff. But this one jumped out to me because it's over-under totals for college football. So we got a number, over-under for wins.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the Texas one just isn't quite set right. They're at 8 flat on this. 8.0.
And this is regular season, correct?
This is regular season. I'm going to assume, yes, regular season win totals.
If I had to pick a number right now for Texas wins this next season, it would be 8.
You go at 8, okay.
So I actually think they have it correct. Maybe you go half one way or the other just to try and entice more people, but I think 8 is a very fair figure right now.
Because to me, if you're going to make this a betting over-under, you make it 8.5. That,
yeah,
to me, would be brilliant, because then your question is just, will Texas win 9 games? And because, you know, looking at the schedule they'll deal with, if you're going to go with 8, then, you know, we're talking about 4 losses on that schedule. I'm not sure if there are 4 losses on the schedule right now, but that's kind of where the number is sitting. Just to give you the comparison, Oklahoma is at 11, 11 even, and Iowa State is at 10.
Yeah.
In terms of the over-under.
And those are the two teams predicted to meet in the Big 12 championship game in early December, too.
Yeah.
I think both those numbers make sense.
So right now, if you considered those two, Vegas would be looking at those two as losses for Texas by how this is structured.
Mm-hmm.
So other than those two losses, for you as a Texas fan, what are the games that are concerning you the most? Conference, non-conference, whatever it is. That if they're going to be an 8-win team, that means there's two more losses on the schedule. What are the ones that concern you?
Louisiana's a potential trap to open the season here in Austin. And the 1-2 punch at the end of the season could be a tricky one for them as well. That's at West Virginia and then Kansas State here at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think both those teams will have some say-so in who ultimately ends up finishing with the two best records in the conference. And I honestly think that both of those numbers, West Virginia at 6 and Kansas State at 5 wins predicted for the season, I would take the over for both of those teams.
I feel like I would too. Like that probably makes some sense.
Because most everybody is going to beat up on Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech at 6.5. I do not see that. I would take Texas Tech with the under there.
Yeah, I feel like that's an under.
If anything, they scrape by and barely qualify for a bowl game, but I could easily see them not qualifying for a bowl game this next year.
Yeah, let us know what you think of that number. 8 for Texas as an over-under for total wins. Just to give you a comparison for the very top of things, Clemson's 11.5 on the wins. Bama's 11 even. Ohio State's 10.5. And, yeah.
I'll tell you, that Clemson 11.5, I mean, that obviously assumes that they have a good chance of beating Georgia, which they certainly do, but they've got a lot to reload on both sides of the ball. It would not surprise me if Georgia wins that game.
Well, this is another good year of judging just how great that Clemson program is, because the only program in America that for sure gets our respect every year for, oh, you'll reload, you'll be fine, is Bama. Clemson's kind of there. This is a big year for them to prove it. Like, you're going to lose the number one overall pick at quarterback in this draft, and you're losing that running back, and you're losing that receiver, and you're losing that receiver, and you're losing that guy, and you're losing. There's a group of them. If they bounce back from this and Uiagalelei steps up and they stomp through again and take the ACC and head to the playoff, then it's kind of like, all right, Dabo, yeah, you're that guy.
I'm just a little bit surprised that the Clemson line isn't right at 11 right now.
Because
I think 11.5 is going to elicit a lot of money with the under. Just because, I mean, that's one game. Considering everything that they have to reload on that side of the ball.
I'd have made it 10.5.
And not just 10.5 or 11 would make more sense to me.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't underestimate just what ETN has given that program over the last 4 years. Ever since he was a true freshman. And they never had to overuse him. But he was such a rock-solid influence on that offense throughout the course of his career.
He's just a wide receiver. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean,
yeah,
Trey?
Thank you, Urban.
Come on. He's just a wide receiver. We'll try him in some weird packages, but other than that. So some college football overs and unders for you today.
What do you think about A&M at 9?
I think it's a good fair place to start for them.
See, I'm taking the over with that.
And I would go over. I would go over. In fact, to me, the A&M number should be where Georgia is, 9.5. I'd make it 9.5 and really make someone commit. It's like, no, wait a second. Do you think they're winning 10 ball games?
Yep.
Because the 9 doesn't give you that. That's what I would do. I'd go 9.5.
I agree.
That's where it would be. And then if you go 9.5, now we'll have a discussion. But I think I still might lean over.
Okay.
Because I think there could be two losses on that schedule. But there's a lot of stuff A&M should be able to deal with, assuming that the quarterbacks are solid and that the blocking is there. If they get those two things, they got a lot of talent around that team. So some over-unders to look for. 106 days away from Texas and Louisiana. And as of yesterday, not only is it the plan, but the university has declared 100% capacity for outdoor events. That means baseball, softball, graduations coming up. And unless something really turns 180 degrees the other way, football in 106 days, Texas and Louisiana. That's monstrous. New South End Zone, big old logo built in, smoke fires up, Bevo runs out, and you can be there, packed in with about 100,000 of your friends, if you like. Remember, we'll have every game for you right here. All right, Dustin McComas coming up at 1. We'll talk some Texas football. We'll talk some Texas baseball with him. Also, I've got a couple. I got another question to throw out today. In addition to Ricky Williams' birthday, there's another birthday that brings up a question for us. We'll get to that. Plus, I have a group of people that are not getting vaccinated, and I'm kind of surprised. I'll tell you who they are coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Before, and I'm lost again, I guess. But I never lost this feeling or this pounding in my chest. I have traveled many miles. I don't want to walk no more. Every road and every highway led me right back to your door.
Love me. New music on this Friday, although that's got a nice old sound to it. What do you got, Trey?
The alt-rock band that wishes they were a little bit more country, Chad. Lord Huron, Love Me Like You Used To. I like this band a lot.
Yeah, it's a good sound. Lord Huron. All righty. Also, New Anderson East is out there for you. If you're looking for new stuff, we have text rolling in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Somebody says we might be giving Louisiana a little too much respect, thinking they can beat Texas. Hey, go check it out, man. 10-1 records, pretty good football team. Plus, you
know, they return a lot on both sides of the ball.
They return a lot. They did beat a Power 5 last year, and I don't know, it might be a little PTSD from some Maryland games and games that just kind of got overlooked at the beginning of a Texas schedule. Steve Sarkisian needs to get off to a good start.
And did you watch the spring game for the Longhorns? This team has a long ways to go.
Yeah.
If they're going to compete for a conference championship, and even if they turn into that at some point in 2021, it's still feasible that they start slow because they are trying to incorporate new systems on both sides of the ball. And They have young quarterbacks or quarterbacks that are inexperienced, and an offensive line that has question marks, and their wide receiver group right now is garbage. I mean, they have Bijan Robinson on offense, started to gain depth at tight end, and then a defense that looks like it could be pretty good.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. 106 days away from Texas and Louisiana. Somebody else agreeing with you, Trey, says, I think West Virginia is a sleeper team in the Big 12. Neil Brown is an underrated coach. We'll see what that group looks like this year in the Big 12. Thank you for your text. We're also keeping you updated on the PGA, where Phil Mickelson is the story of the day so far. Still plenty of golf to play. He shot a 69 today, and he leads the tournament at -5. There's a group at -3 that includes Kevin Streelman and Brandon Grace, excuse me. And Rory McIlroy is about to get out there and get started, but he's +3. He's got some work to do. Jordan Spieth also +3 through his 17th hole today, started on number 10. So he is still a ways back as well. All right, let's jump into the crab bag. I got a question here.
Chad's crab bag.
Crab bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. They can make sure the PGA and all those golf majors are looking even better than they do now. Get that HD setup that you've always dreamed of. So, Trey, the group of people I'm confused about not getting vaccinated are Major League Baseball players. The story yesterday came out of Chicago, where the president of the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, decided to let it out to the media and the public or whatever that the Cubs are not at 85% vaccination. Why is that important? Because Major League Baseball has decided, and I didn't realize this, I knew that they would put things in place if you, a person, got vaccinated and said, okay, here's, you no longer have to deal with this. You no longer have to worry about XYZ. But what I didn't know is that the team's percentage mattered to the Major League Baseball. If you get to 85%, certain regulations go away. Like, you don't have to wear masks anymore. Like, you can go indoors and outdoors in terms of dining, both individually and with your team. You don't have to worry about contact tracing. But he announced that the Cubs will not get to 85%. He thinks it's a competitive disadvantage for his baseball team. Half of the teams in the league are 85% vaccinated. So my question, Trey, is, for this particular group of people, why would they not get vaccinated? Years ago, there was a bowl of pills in the locker room, and it was, take this, it'll help that. They didn't care about ramifications. They didn't care about side effects. There was a steroid era. There were needles. There were pills. There were creams and clears and all kinds of stuff. And this is a situation where I think I could argue that if they get a vaccination, things will get easier for them, and it will enable them to play baseball better. I'm just a little surprised that either this group didn't want to or they couldn't be convinced to get to 85%. It's just a little weird to me. And also the fact that the president of the Cubs felt it necessary to tell us this. And he's claiming, look, dude, this isn't one or two guys. If I could just walk down the hall and say, yo, Steve, if you get vaccinated, we're at 85%, I'd do it. He is basically telling us the Cubs aren't close. They're not anywhere close to 85%. That's a little, it's surprising to him and a little bit surprising to me.
Yeah, I guess so. I just wonder how many of those guys have maybe had COVID previously. And they're like, look, I've read all the different research out there right now, and I think that I'm practically as well off already having gone through the real thing versus having gone through the real thing and needing to get the shot, too. Like maybe the situation that I find myself in right now, where I don't necessarily think that it's as valuable as some headlines have suggested over the last few months.
But in your situation, you're dealing with you, an individual. Mm-hmm. If you had something in front of you where you were part of a large team like that and you traveled all the time and you could do something, you and your teammates could do something to make the travel easier, to make game day easier, to make your family life easier. You wouldn't take that into consideration?
You could, or you could just do those things on your own.
Right, but on your own is not what being a part of the baseball team is. Once you get into that thing when you're traveling and stuff, then you have to go back to wearing masks and contact trace if you're around somebody that's positive. Like, that part of it would suck. If I was a pitcher or anybody, big-time position player, now I got to still sit out. If I'm exposed because we didn't get to this threshold.
I think you're going to see these guys stand their ground for another month, and then a lot of this stuff will get dropped altogether. I mean, you're starting to hear guys in Major League Baseball say, look, if a dude tests positive who is vaccinated or has already had it and that guy's asymptomatic, just let that guy play. He's not getting anybody else sick. You know who said that in the last couple of days? Max Scherzer, a voice that has a little bit of oomph behind the name.
That's true.
So I think that there are more people who are starting to think along these lines now. And this is a point that you made, I want to say, a week ago, where why are you so concerned if you yourself are vaccinated with what somebody else has or has not done? Because it is not going to have that profound an impact on you or really anybody else around you. Somebody who's that concerned about COVID getting themselves or others sick because they have the chance to get vaccinated. For all the problems that this country has been dealing with for a long time now, but specifically in this last year, we are at the forefront of coming up with a fix that keeps you from having to worry as much about that now. And we have a lot of other countries around the world who are turning to us to try and utilize this same technology. So I think that combined with the immunity that exists from those who have already have COVID is a big reason why you're seeing America start to emerge from the craziness of the last 15 months, while a lot of countries are still struggling with this. And I get in the short term that it's frustrating that you have to go through some extra protocol as a team. Again, I think at some point over the summer, we see a lot of this stuff just go away.
And maybe that's what the Cubs are ultimately counting on. Three games out of the division, by the way. We're not talking about some scrub baseball team that is bad. Hopefully by the time they get to maybe a playoff run, maybe they don't have those kind of things in their way. So in addition to that, we have another birthday. First off, happy birthday to Ricky Williams. We already mentioned that. We're asking you for your favorite Ricky Williams moments. Maybe your favorite secondary Ricky Williams moments, because a lot of people are just going to go right to that game against A&M breaking the record, which was awesome. But our man Jeff Howe from Horns 24/7 and Light the Tower, he's with me that the Doak Walker game in 98 stands out to him. Interesting, Trey, 31 carries for 139 and two touchdowns. Now, for anybody else, that's a badass day. That's not even like near the best Ricky game you could talk about.
38 for 139, is that what you said?
31 for 139 and two touchdowns. So four and a half a carry.
That's not a good game for him.
For Ricky, I mean, it's like we've seen others that...
It's honestly surprising to hear those numbers because that is a game that resonates with me too.
I really thought I was going to see like 150, 180, four touchdowns or whatever. But I do remember him being a badass that day. Texas stepped on Oklahoma that day. It was 34-3, but it really wasn't that close.
And it's difficult to think about Ricky's individual moments because his junior year, the team was so bad. What were they, 4-7 or 4-8 that year?
That is correct. 4-7, right? Yeah. That's the team that lost to UCLA and all that, yeah.
Lost to Texas Tech at home. I was in the stands for that game as a Texas Tech student, openly rooting against, the only time in my life I've openly rooted against Texas.
Oh, how dare you.
Ready for that nonsense to come to an end.
That's what it is. That's why Ricky blocked you on Twitter. He knows that you were rooting against him in 97.
It's the only time I've done so in my life, and it was being done for the greater good. I was by myself in the north end zone. There weren't even Texas Tech fans there anymore. There was nobody left in that stadium, and I was just watching it all play out. I feel like Tech had like a white safety who returned a punt for a touchdown in that game. It was a brutal one to watch as a Longhorn fan, other than coming to the realization that it was time for the Makovic era to come to an end.
So we're hitting the Ricky stuff, but I want to make sure we get this one out because Trey came up with another great question today off a birthday. I think you will enjoy it. Today is the 69th birthday, nice, of Mr. T himself. That is right. Mr. T, who, of course, played Clubber Lang in Rocky III. The question today, who are your favorite sports movie bad guys?
Because,
Trey, you are absolutely right to bring it up on Mr. T. Clubber Lang is still a bad guy that when I revisit that movie, it still gives me chills. It still gives me shivers. His disrespect to Mickey, his disrespect to Adrian. Forget about how he thinks feels about Rocky. He was an evil character. And Clubber's one of the best, and I might even argue he's more evil than Ivan Drago.
Yeah, I could buy that argument. You and I talked about it off the air before the show. I think I'm probably leaning Mr. T on which is worse between Drago and him and Clubber Lang. But as far as the all-time great bad guys, he's in that conversation too.
Yep.
I think you have the Ben Stiller character from Dodgeball. He's an all-time great sports movie bad guy.
Dwight Goodman?
Dwight Goodman. That's it. You're right about that.
Great one.
But there are plenty of other options out there. We want to hear from you on those. 337-3776.
That is awesome. Specs text line fired up for you. Up next, Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. We'll talk about the opportunity that the Longhorn baseball team didn't take advantage of last night, plus this crazy recruiting story of sorts for Texas football. A verbal commitment that has a senior year coming up, deciding he's not going to play his senior year. We'll talk to Dustin about that as well. Don't move. It's the Horn.